We're just going to read this account in our Bibles from Luke chapter 10. I want to start in verse number 25 and read on through verse number 37. It's a account you know very well. You've probably heard it since you were in Sunday school class. It's the account of the Good Samaritan. Jesus had been busy healing, teaching, finding the disciples and instructing them, sending them on their way, and we come here to a passage where there's a lawyer that stands up and tempts. Verse number 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" It's a great question, isn't it? Question every person in the world should ask and get the answer from God himself. "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?'" Now, this guy's a lawyer. He should know the Old Testament law. So Jesus turns it back on him, and he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right." It's a good answer. He basically summarized the entire Old Testament law. It says you just got to follow the entire law. You have to keep it perfectly. This lawyer had it right. Jesus said, "This do, and thou shalt live." If you're as perfect as God, if you follow all the Old Testament law, as perfect as God, you'll have eternal life. Now, this lawyer knew he couldn't do that. He fully understood he couldn't keep the entire Old Testament law perfectly as God. So what's he say? Verse number 29. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" I mean, really, let's just change the terms a little bit. How do you define this? What's your definition? Let's find an excuse here, because there's no way anybody could ever be that perfect. So you're surely not talking about everybody when it comes to your neighbor. Who really is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, all right, so he's going to tell a little story. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' And then Jesus asked his question, 'Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?'" The answer really was rhetorical, but he answers it in verse number 37. He said, "He that showeth mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." I want to talk to you today about what it takes to be a Samaritan, what it takes to be a real hero. Let's ask God to help us. Lord, as we look to your word this morning, we need to open our hearts to its truth and be willing to change to be what you want us to be. God, would you lead us and guide us into that truth? And would you allow us to make those decisions that would change our lives to be more like you and your example? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we find here a certain lawyer. The Bible doesn't give us his name. He's just this no-named lawyer, and he goes and he's asking this question really to tempt Jesus, to try to get him off track, to try to get him, you know, to mess up in some way. But he's a follower of the Mosaic Law. A lawyer in those days was just someone that understood the Old Testament law completely, thoroughly. He memorized the Old Testament. He understood how it worked. And so Jesus, flipping this question right back at him, he understands that Old Testament truth, and he gives that right answer. He says in his question to Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What most of the world asks, what do I do? What action can I take? What checklist do I need to mark off? What good works do I need to do to inherit eternal life? That's what most of the world asks. And so Jesus answers that it's not about a checklist, it's not about doing, it's about what Christ has already done for you. He answers and says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." He's saying you got to keep this law perfectly. But Jesus is going to show him that he's not keeping the law perfectly. First of all, let's look at the story. Let's just go right to it. I want you to see the condition of the stranger. The condition of the stranger. He's assaulted. We're not given this stranger's name in the story, but we know that as he's traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, he falls among thieves. Now, Jerusalem to Jericho is about 15 miles. Okay? This is exit what? 105. If you're to travel west on I-20, you would have to go to exit 90. Anybody know what exit that is? All right, Covington exit. I think it's a third exit in Covington, right? Go 1, 2, 3 exits in Covington. All right, so for us, it's no big deal. You know, we got interstate. Boom, we're there in no time, right? Not so true in that day. When Jesus told this story and he said the man traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho, everybody was like, not that road. Ooh. Because it would have been very dangerous. It was mountainous. It was rugged. There were all kinds of places where you could be robbed. And so the people understood this clearly. It would have taken a long time to get there. And this man in the story falls among thieves. How many, we don't know, but they come out and they assault this man in a horrible, harsh way. It's really a tragic condition that this man's in. And I want to show you today how this man's tragic condition is a picture of every human being's spiritual condition. The parallel here of the human tragedy is a parallel of our tragic spiritual condition that we have spiritually. And often the Bible does this. God uses different things physically to show us our condition spiritually. I love how he talks to the Pharisees, and he says, you know, the Pharisees are the blind leading the blind. Does he mean they don't have, you know, eyesight, that they can't see? No. They had eyes, they could see. But he was talking about that physical ailment as being something spiritual. Spiritually, they couldn't see the truth that was right in front of them. And they're the blind leading the blind because that physical thing was paralleling a spiritual truth. He does it as well when he says, you have ears, but you hear not. Okay, he's not saying they didn't have any ears that they were missing from their heads. But he was saying, you're spiritually not hearing the truth. You're not hearing that which is spiritual. And I think that same thing is what he's teaching here. He's teaching something physical and showing us something spiritual. This man that fell among thieves is, spiritually speaking, precisely what happened to every single one of us when we were born. We've been assaulted by sin and Satan. I wonder, have you ever seen yourself as this man was? Assaulted by sin. The Bible tells us in John 8:44, Jesus is speaking. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was talking to the religious leaders of his day back then in this passage. He was speaking to the most religious people in town, the separated ones, the Pharisees. They fasted twice a day. They fasted 2 out of every 7 days. They gave 10% of everything they owned, down to the very spices. They had scripture verses on their foreheads. They had memorized the Old Testament. I mean, these guys were the religious of the religious. And yet he says, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded, all under sin. All under sin. No one ever had to teach you how to lie. They had to teach you how to tell the truth. No one ever had to teach you how to get angry, right? They had to teach you how to make peace. Nobody ever had to teach you how to steal. They had to teach you how to live honest life. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was us. Fallen among thieves, assaulted. The verse goes on to say that they stripped him of his raiment. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees your heart, sees your motives, sees your mind. He knows you for who you really are, not the facade you put on the outside. Scripture goes on to say that they wounded him. They wounded him. You see it in verse number 30? You know, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, the whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That was us in our sin condition, wounded with putrefying sores. It's not looking good. Number 4, they left him mostly dead. Left him half dead. You say, that can't be a picture of me, but it is. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually speaking, we are dead. We're alive in the body, but we're dead spiritually. And until we realize that, we can't be saved. Saved. Let's define that word. What's it mean to be saved? Rescued. We have no need to be rescued unless we understand the condition we're in, and that is necessary, that we need a Savior to rescue us, deliver us. We'll have no desire to be rescued until we first recognize our need and our dire condition to be saved. Our tragic condition. If you were to think about a military man, a big, burly Marine Corps guy, you know, his sleeves pop off his arms, and he's busy doing his job, fighting for his country. If you were to come up to him and offer him a medic, says, what is he doing here? Get him out of here. I'm busy. I'm taking care of the job. I'm doing my work. I don't need the medic. Right? He's not interested. What happens when he steps on an IED? He's bleeding out, and he knows he's in trouble. You offer that same medic to him, and suddenly he's very interested. Yes, I need him. Why? Because he sees his condition, his need. We've got to see our need and where we are spiritually to recognize how lost we are in order to see how much Christ has done for us. The lawyer needed to understand that he was not okay, that he couldn't justify himself, that he needed Christ. Even the Christian, as Christians, we need to recognize just how needy we are in our condition of needing the Savior. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, the lukewarm Christians referenced here, right? And the Bible says that this lukewarm Christian thinks that he's rich and increased with goods and has need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Don't even realize that you're nothing without Christ. So this is a picture of us. He's assaulted. Next, I want you to see that the stranger is abandoned. Not only is he assaulted, but he's abandoned. The thieves departed. They left him. I mean, they didn't need him anymore. They took his stuff, clothes, whatever money he had, and they left him. But then two more come by and abandon him as well. First one comes and he's a callous priest. The priest was to be the theologian of that day, the preacher of that day. He's the religious one, the man of God, the one that people look to for the truth of God's word. There were 12,000 priests in Israel during this time. And this happened to be one of them traveling by. And of all the people to stop and help this man, it should have been the priest. He had all kinds of ministerial duties to take care of, leading the people. He was busy with all kinds of things to do. And the Bible says, when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The reality is, he didn't care. He didn't care. Let me just pause right here and say, I'm thankful for a pastor that cares. Pastor Chambers, if you know him at all, you know that he cares for his flock. And I see it on a daily basis in his care and concern for you all. That's the way a pastor should be. But this man, this priest, he didn't care. And it showed because he just passes by on the other side. He doesn't even take the time to... He just sees him and boom, he's gone. He's too busy. He can't be defiled. But not only the callous priest, then comes the concerned Levite. The concerned Levite. All right, he's a little more here. The Bible says, and when he had looked on him, so he spends a little, you know, oh, wow, yeah. Ooh, that's got to hurt. Ouch. Looks him over. Well, he's still breathing. Okay, we're good. And he passes by on the other side. He's concerned, but he doesn't do anything. You can be callous or concerned about unsaved people or about your own spiritual condition. But unless you stop and do something, then nothing is accomplished. Then, in your sinful condition, you'll spend eternity without God in a place called hell. And as a Christian, your responsibility to go and tell others about the truth of what Christ has done, if you don't go and tell, if you don't do something, they'll go to eternity without God and spend eternity in a place called hell. It's not enough just to be concerned. We've got to do something. If you're here today and you realize that you're a sinner, just like all of us were, that sin prevents you from being with a holy God, then we as a church want to stop by your emergency and tell you the truth. We want to rescue you from that sin and show you how Jesus can save you. The condition of this man is just like the condition of each one of us. But then I want you to see the compassion of the Samaritan. Let's look at the compassion of the Samaritan. He's not named. He's not looking for recognition. He's just doing what's right. He's the hero that we all should be. He's concerned with this man. We as Christians, if we name the name of Jesus Christ, we know we're on our way to heaven, then we need to examine ourselves and ask, are we being a biblical Samaritan? Are we being this kind of hero? Not only does he stop to help the man that's going to die, but he cares about him and does everything necessary to help him back on his way. There's two pictures here. The picture, first of all, I think, is the picture of Jesus Christ himself, the hero of heroes. And I think the Samaritan pictures Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ stopped at our condition, our sin, and took care and took concern on us, had compassion on us, and was willing to do everything necessary to rescue us from our condition of sin. He was willing to leave heaven and come to this earth as a man, live a perfect life, and then die in our place on the cross. Just take our punishment upon himself, rise again the third day, and offer us eternal life, salvation through his name. I think this is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ who stopped and met our need. But secondly, I think it's a picture, or it ought to be a picture, of every Christian. Every Christian ought to be a hero like the Good Samaritan. Do we care? Do we stop like Christ did? Do we care about hurting people when they hurt? It really comes down to how we see them. How we see them. You see, the Levite and the priest, they saw a dangerous situation. And they said, nope, not doing that. If I go there, that might happen to me. I might get dirty. I'm not associating with that guy. Whew. But the Samaritan, he saw a dying soul. He saw a dying soul. He said, but for the grace of God, that could be me. Wounded and everything taken and helpless on the side of the road. But for the grace of God, that is me. I must stop. I must help. I must do something. What do you see? Do you see what Jesus saw? Luke chapter 19 is a story of Zacchaeus, right? Could all sing this song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I love teaching children's things. Oh, I have so much fun doing it. I can't believe I get to do what I get to do. Here's Zacchaeus, and boy, he is a case for the counseling class, right? He's got all kinds of dysfunctions. He's a Jewish IRS agent working for the Roman Empire. He's vertically challenged, and he's stuck up in a tree. But Jesus comes by and stops for him. You ever think about how many times Jesus stopped for people? I think of the time where he's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. I mean, Jairus' daughter's dying. This is kind of an emergency. We've got to get there quick, right? And he's busy, and the crowds are everywhere, and the crowds are pressing on him, and someone touches the robe of his garment. And he turns and stops and says, "This, we need to take time for this. Who touched me?" Jesus didn't need to know for information. He wanted to let the redeemed of the Lord say so, like all of us should. And he took time. He stopped. He stopped for the Samaritan woman at the well. He stopped for lepers. He stopped for children. He stopped his busy, busy schedule and took time to meet their need. I picked this up from Dr. Jim Shetler some time ago. He said this. He said, every trip is a missions trip. Every trip is a missions trip, and that has so helped me. Because everywhere I go now, I'm thinking, hey, this is an opportunity to help someone. This is an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel with someone. This is a missions trip. Walmart, the gas station, wherever it is. That's changed how I look at things. Dr. Tom Farrell used to say, seize the moment to share the message. Seize the moment to share the message. What do you see when you look at others? Will you see their need? Will you stop? A hero sees their need. A hero stops. A real hero sacrifices with compassion. Sacrifices with compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 33. I love this verse. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. It stirred him. You may not be thinking about Jesus right now, but he's thinking about you. And he's always thinking about others. You may have profaned and blasphemed him. You may have strayed away, but he still loves you. John 3:16 is still true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christian, are you supposed to be, you're supposed to be a good Samaritan, the hero, but how often do we fall short of being like Christ and loving others the way we're supposed to? Jude chapter 1, verse 22 says, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Do you ever think about wildfires? I had some in Gatlinburg a number of years ago. Seems like California is always on fire. There's some in Hawaii. Wildfires are just... And now with social media and things, we're seeing it firsthand. People that are fleeing for their lives, rushing out and not even realizing how close the flames were, and getting in their cars and realizing we can't even get down this road and we've got to abandon the vehicle and fleeing for their lives. If we were to rush to someone's house as a wildfire came their way and banged on their door and said, hey, you got to get out, the fire's coming, would we be a mean person, a terrible person? How dare we shout and knock on their door? No. We're giving them the truth. This is important. They would rush to the door and say, wow, I didn't know. I grab what you have. Hop in my truck. Let's go. The emergency that this is what we fail to see. Do you ever consider the real emergency of the people around you? A hero stops. He sees, he has compassion, and he rushes in to save. A hero rushes in when everyone else is rushing out. Does the hard thing and says, I'm going to go up to that door and knock. I don't know who's on the other side. I'm going to tell them about Jesus, no matter what they say to me. No matter how harsh they are in return. They need to hear the truth. I want you to look at what this Samaritan did. First of all, he took time. Verse 34. He brought him to an inn. Now, those days they didn't have hospitals, right? So this inn was the place you'd take someone when they're injured, wounded. The fly is bothering me, sorry. Go away, fly. Probably after the Rogaine in my hair. Okay. I just had to throw that in. All right. So he spends his time to take care of this guy. In fact, he says that he'll be back tomorrow. He spends that whole night, and he'll be back again. I mean, this is at least 12 hours. Are you willing to spend half a day with someone to meet their need? Half a day? To change your whole schedule? Next thing he does is he toils. spends his time, he spends toil. This is hard work, lifting a half-dead guy up on your beast, right? This is hard work to be done. It is not easy. I was a lifeguard for 2 summers at a summer camp down in Florida, Delray Beach. And I can tell you, there was only one time we had to rescue someone. Don't ever want to do it again. It is not as glamorous as it is on TV. When you rescue someone, you give yourself. You give everything you have. There is no holding back from that emergency. Do we look at others that way? They need to be saved? You don't understand. I mean, this is, if I get involved in that and take the time there, I can't do that. Yes, God wants us to. This is what it means to be a neighbor. We give of our time, we give of our toil, and then he gives his treasure. Look at his treasure he gives. He says, I'll give you 2 pence here, a day's wage, and I'm going to come back, and whatever thou spendest, all right, here's my credit card, right? The blank check, whatever thou spendest, I'll be back and I'll pay it. What a picture of our Savior who gave everything for us so that we could have salvation for nothing. He says, whatever thou spendest, I'll be back. By the way, do you see the follow-up? I'm not just going to leave this guy. I'm going to come back to him. Oh, we can go so quick to someone and share the truth of the gospel, and wow, they're making progress. They're about to get saved, or they do get saved, and then we just leave them. Walk away. Live our own life. No! No! Go back! Go back! You're not done yet! There's a whole lot more to show them about who God is and what he's done for us. This is just the beginning. This is just a start. Go back. Follow up. Oh, I want to get better at follow-ups. Lord, help us to get better at follow-ups, to meet people's needs. Third thing I want to ask you, I just want to call you to be a hero. Christian, can you say at this time in your life that your life pictures this Samaritan? That you're a hero. Maybe you're here and you don't know that you're saved. If not, then you need to talk to someone today and get that settled. Understand what salvation is and receive Christ as your Savior today. Don't wait on that. But Christian, if you say you're not even close to being the hero you should be, then good news. God never shows us our need without showing us how we can change to get it right. And today, you can make that change. You can get it right. You can be the hero and rush in to offer salvation to those that need it. You can seek and to seek and save that which is lost like Christ did. Every one of us can stop and see the multitudes and have compassion like Christ did. Every one of us can help make a difference for eternity. It's not a person in this building who with the eyes of Jesus cannot see, instead of the outward shell, the inward hurt. There's no one here that cannot sacrifice some of their time, their toil, and their treasure to give the greatest message that's ever been heard, that Jesus saves. So, let's stop letting Satan hinder us and keep us from what he wants us to do, what God wants us to do. Stop getting distracted by our own lives and our own busy schedules, and stop and see others for who they are. Verse number 37, Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. Go. It's an invitation to us to get out there and do church visitation, church soul winning. Get out there and talk to the neighbors we see out on their porch as we drive by. Stop! Pull in the driveway. Go talk to them. Talk to the people we come across in our daily lives. The mission field is all around us, but it's all around the world as well. Maybe God's calling some of you to be full-time telling others about salvation. To get out on the mission field and do the greatest work on earth, winning souls and rescuing souls from the pit of hell. Some save as by fire. The Lord says, go and do thou likewise. Be a Samaritan. Be a real hero. Let's pray. God, wow, what a wonderful truth from your word and how this has challenged me to be what I ought to be. I needed to hear this and I needed help in this area. So Lord, would you continue to instruct us and help us to be the heroes we should be. You've left us here on earth not so that we could just live our own lives and for ourselves, not even so that we could just consume Bible truth and keep it to ourselves, but Lord, you want us to be light in this world and salt in this world and spreading and sharing that truth with others every day. Would you help us to go and do what you want us to do? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.